Welcome to my commentary on 1 Thessalonians. This section, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 through chapter 3, verse 5. Verse 17 reads, "But, brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time," and in brackets he says, "in person, but not in thought," close brackets, "out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you." Notice the words here, torn. Paul and Timothy and those with him were torn away from these Thessalonican believers. They were torn away because of a few things here. One was because of the persecution. They had to escape the city. Two, they didn't really want to leave. They were only there for 3 weeks, and their heart felt just torn away. So we see some very strong language on the behalf of Paul here. He uses the word intense longing. That's how much he longed to see these people again. Now, we've got something that is important for the modern-day pastor. I tell you this, if a pastor today doesn't have the same intensity of feelings for the people whom God has called him to, then he should not be a pastor. A pastor is more than a pulpit person. He's more than one who teaches from the pulpit. He is one who cares for the needs of the people God has entrusted him with, just as a shepherd cares for his sheep. I dare say that in today's Christian world, even evangelical world, such intensity towards God's people is lacking. Paul goes on to say in verse 18, "For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again." Like many, many times Paul wanted to come and see these guys. "But Satan stopped us." Notice this. Satan stopped Paul from coming to visit the Thessalonians. Well, the question arises, how do we know, or how did Paul know it was Satan? How did he know it wasn't just circumstances? Well, we trust Paul's ability in the Spirit to know who is Satan, who is flesh, who is whatever. The fact remains that Satan is the prince of this world, and Paul believed it was Satan who prevented him and the others to revisit the believers in Thessalonica. As an aside, and we will get to this later, in chapter 3, verse 11, Paul says, "Now may our God and Father himself and the Lord Jesus clear the way for us." Who, according to verse 11 of chapter 3, was going to clear the way for Paul and his companions to visit these believers? It was God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't see any hint here of Paul rebuking the devil. No, he didn't. He waited until Jesus, the Father as well, cleared the way. The rebuking of the devil stuff that we see in the last few decades in evangelical circles, I think, is one misunderstood way of thinking doctrine. Recently, I encountered somebody say, "I rebuke the devil for the sickness of your mother-in-law." Well, my mother-in-law is 80 years old and is dying. Why would you want to rebuke the devil? Why would you want to rebuke the sickness when she's at the doorstep of finally seeing Jesus in person? Verse 19, "For what is our hope, our joy and crown, in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Paul is talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the word crown here. Crown is used in a few different ways in the New Testament. In this way, it is not the reward, really, that Paul is expecting when he sees Jesus face to face at the end of this age. This crown is actually the believers that Paul led to the Lord. What Paul is saying here is, when Jesus returns, Jesus, as we know from 1 Corinthians 3, will judge the Christian for his works. I don't believe Jesus is going to judge us because of our sin, because they have been forgiven. But the works we do in the Lord will be judged. Those works that will survive the fire of judgment will be rewarded for. And Paul is expecting that he will be rewarded, but the crown he's speaking of, the joy that he's speaking of, the glory that he's speaking of, is these people that he will present to the Lord Jesus Christ on that day when he himself is, well, I shouldn't say he himself is judged, but when his works are judged. Chapter 3, verse 1. So, when we could stand it no longer, again, see Paul's intensity, stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. So Paul and a few others couldn't go, but they did send Timothy. For some reason, Timothy could get by the blockades that Satan had put up. Now, Paul sent Timothy for one reason, as stated here, so that their faith may be strengthened. Their faith, meaning their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, their reliance upon Jesus for every aspect of their lives, not just their hope of heaven, not just their salvation, but for their very existence on earth here. That's what they were trusting Jesus for. To become a Christian in those days was a serious commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. It would cost you, or could even cost you, your lives. It could cost you your career. So Paul is saying he sent Timothy so that their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ would be strengthened, would be more secure. Verse 3, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. See, they were going through a lot of trials on both sides, from the Romans and from the Jews, and they needed their trust in Jesus to be strengthened. Paul was concerned that their faith would be unsettled. Paul goes on, you know quite well that we were destined for them. Destined for what? For them. What does the word them mean, refer to? It means the trials. Paul is telling these people, and he probably told them when they first believed, that you Thessalonian believers, along with me, we are destined for trials in this day and age. Well, in Western civilization today, we are becoming, our society, our culture is becoming more and more like the society and culture that Paul existed in back in the first century Roman Empire. And if that was the case, trials being expected was the case for Paul and his brothers back then, we will, or should, expect it to be the case for us today as time goes on. You know, this idea of come to Jesus and live happily ever after, or just come to the altar, repeat a prayer after me, get saved and go to heaven, that's not the gospel. Along with the good news that Paul preached to these Thessalonians, he would have said, you people, once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, expect trouble to come your way. That was the gospel Paul preached. A quick repeat after me prayer at an altar was not the way Paul led somebody to the Lord. You know quite well, Paul says, that we were destined for these trials. Verse 4, in fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. Exactly what I just said. While he was with these people for 3 weeks, he kept telling them, you guys are going to be persecuted. Well, brother, that would stop many people to become a Christian, at least in this day and age. Paul goes on to say, and it turned out that way, as you will know. Verse 5, for this reason, when I could stand it no longer, again the intensity of Paul's desire for these people, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. Faith, trust in Jesus, that was the number one thing Paul was concerned about. Of course, he was concerned about their children, their careers, and other things, but the bottom line thing that Paul was concerned about was their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If they gave up their trust, they lost their salvation. They lost the hope of the future. Paul goes on, I was afraid that in some way the tempter, meaning the devil, might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. Paul was always concerned about the hard work he put in for the Lord. He didn't want it to be useless. That was one thing. If you understand and read what Paul says in his letters, this is one reoccurring thought. Notice the word afraid. This is the great Apostle Paul. I think he is one of the greatest men in Christian history. But he did have fears, and this was one fear, that those he led to the Lord would depart from the Lord. This was one driving motivation in the life of Paul to make sure his converts stuck with the Lord. We'll continue on with the rest of chapter 3 in the next section.